girl. Love the mess, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, February 28th, last day of the month of 2021. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Happy last day of Black History Month. Black Lives Still Matter. You can't forget that didn't happen. It's still there. We've got one more day left. Then we go back to normal.
But we're still in.
Don't forget. We still matter.
Our guests today are George Boudreaux, Doubtfire. Welcome all. And Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there was a streaming atheist call-in video show, TV/show here, broadcasting from Knoxville? It has been for over 10 years. Did you know that, Wombat?
I really want to get into it, but I can't afford a Hulu account. What can you do for me?
Hulu. Oh, yeah. I wish we were on
Hulu. Is it on Disney Plus, or is it on Netflix, or is it on Amazon Prime?
It would
Prime,
be nice if it was on all of them.
Is
it is on YouTube.
Oh, it's YouTube's free? Okay, yeah. Okay. Hey, yeah. I'm back in again. All Let's right. go.
Go to YouTube and do a search for Knoxville Atheists or Knoxville Free Thought, and you should find them. If you get, if you'd like to interact with us during the show, go to our Facebook account, Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, and use the messaging function to send us questions or comments. Wombat, what's our topic today?
Hey, today we're going to be talking about the wonders of science. I still get confused with that camera right here. I got to make sure I'm looking into the right camera. Anyway, wonders of science versus wonders of religion.
You're going to dazzle us with science.
I want to talk about some cool things that are interesting in our lives personally that science have given us, and then cool things in our life that have been brought to us through religion. Maybe if we can see if there's a nice comparison there. I know we're a room full of atheists, but we're going to try. We're going to try to make this a fair. We're going to make this a fair fight. It's not a competition necessarily, but it kind of is. Anyway, before we get into that, I want to do very quick, very fast, very rapid, short estimate, summation of your entire lives over the last month, maybe half your lifetime, whatever you got. George, it's been 2 weeks since we've seen you last. How you been?
Why don't you pick on somebody else for a moment?
George,
on somebody your own size.
I seem to have two different Zoom presences here. I'm trying to.
Oh no! This
straighten
is
them out. So.
Oh, I thought that was George from Buffalo. I thought that was Buffalo George that just came in.
No, it was me, and I'm all screwed up here. So.
So speaking of science, he's battling science currently.
That's
right
technology. Yes. It's all well, about science.
Come on.
Can you all see me right now?
Yes.
We can see you. I can't see anything.
You're not the cat emoji, are you?
No, he's not a cat. He's not.
No, the radio audience can't see you at this point.
Boudreaux, how you been? How you been? I think you're getting ready for your second vaccination shot, or if you've already had it, what's going on?
No. Yeah, I had mine probably about 3 weeks ago now. My wife and I are
all good.
Yeah, we were actually a little bad, and we took the kids last week to South Carolina. We went to Hilton Head. The island was actually really good about masks. I guess they were really locking down on mask requirements. Outside of the island, it was really scary because nobody was wearing masks and everyone was.
You're in South Carolina. What are you gonna do?
We tried to get a bite to eat on our way back from Magnolia Plantations. And as we were coming back, it was pretty late. We're like, let's just grab a bite to eat. It was Friday night. And we had to walk in and out of places, go, nope, like 35-minute waits and just tons of people. So, you know, we were playing it safe. I mean, our kids are still, you know, unvaccinated, but they are children. So they're safer, I suppose. But we were grocery stores and, you know, masks and we did a lot of outside stuff. It was great. It was really much needed vacation for us to just get away.
Good. Yeah. That's really good to hear. I'm also a little concerned. Like, I desperately go out to restaurants again, but I think the idea of waiting 30 minutes to eat is sort of just like one of those bonkers things I wished I had forgotten.
Yeah.
It's like, like, wait, waiting lists, waiters, tipping? Like, oh, I hate this. Why? I forgot about all this stuff that I hate. I just
That's one of the things I miss the most is eating out.
Yeah.
About all this.
Anyway, cool. Scott, how you been? We're all going to be quiet.
Hey, been doing really good. Hopefully my echo is not too bad. But yeah, I've been doing pretty good. Still working on music projects and placing music for companies and jingles, commercials, YouTube shows, you name it. So I've been utilizing my new studio.
When can we hear any of your cool new stuff that you're coming out with?
Really soon. Like, really soon. Nice. Like, soon as pot, like, maybe next week.
Okay, cool. Okay, not cool. as ambiguous as soon, but next week we'll hold you to it.
It's all recorded. It's just, I just need to put it up somewhere.
Cool. All right. Thank you, Scott. Larry, how you been?
Doing fine. Just staying in, staying safe, and playing computer games.
What was
when
the last?
You're 70, thing? You don't get out a whole lot anyway.
Yeah. You've been trolling people on the internet, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not trolling them, but I do interact with them. I like doing that. It keeps me involved, I guess, with the community.
Cool. I am so looking forward to getting my second vaccination shot because I live right nearby a public pool. Yeah. And I don't want to jump into that pool. I know they say chlorine doesn't kill COVID, but I don't know if the science is out on that yet. Right. I don't want to take my chances. So. Until then, I've been running to get my shape back in form so that I could wear a swimsuit in public and not feel bad. And I'm knocking out 5Ks. I'm having a fun time. But I want to talk really about what I'm really excited about, which is wonders of science. And I want to start today with a purchase I've made on the internet. And it's this little dude. It's not an endorsement. It's just there are thousands of products just like this. And what this is
yeah, the radio audience.
Sure. Right. It looks like one of those trimmers that you stick up your nose, except you stick them in your ear, and it's not a trimmer.
Oh.
It's a camera with a pick at the end of it.
Oh. And
the idea behind it is you can so believe it or not, you're not supposed to use Q-tips in your ears. Did you guys all know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, we got some thumbs up here.
Yep.
It is one of those things that you just assume that you do because everyone uses it. But on the box, it says not for ear use. So it's a question of like, what do you even use these things for in the first place? Q-tips will actually compact the earwax already in your ear canal and make it even harder for it to come out. And you may end up losing your hearing as a result. And so what you're really supposed to do is pick the earwax out either by a professional or you get one of these and you can do it yourself. And what the cool thing is, this has a tiny little Wi-Fi enabled camera. Your cell phone basically acts as the monitor. You connect it to the pick and you can see a live feed of yourself pulling out earwax out of your ear. It sounds gross. Trust me, it is. But let me tell you, once you clean out your ear canal for like the first time in years, it is an insane sounding experience. It's not just I can hear wind. I can like feel the direction of wind just like from my ears. It's like, oh, southwest by southeast, about 6 knots. I can see. It's insane. It's so crazy. I'm not saying I hear music any better. Like, I still feel like I had pretty sensitive hearing, but I think this is a wonder of science that I can just do this by myself without having to worry about making an appointment, driving out, commuting, all that stuff. Just buy this and I can do this as many times as I want. Clean my own ears. I think it's
so
great.
Tyrone, do you mean that you said it has a camera on it?
It has a tiny little camera, yeah.
So where do you see the picture?
I see the camera coming out of the tip. And so I literally see the point of view of the tip of the cleaner as it goes into my ear. And
do you see it on your cell phone or on your laptop?
I see it on my cell phone. I see a live feed on my cell phone about 30 frames per second. It's pretty good. I saw my own eardrum for the first time yesterday. And it was like this wild experience of like, whoa, I've always heard about you, but I've never seen you. That's so cool. But yeah, my ears are very, very clean now. I love it. It's really good. Pink and fresh on the inside.
Can you all hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Just fine.
Oh, okay. I'm back.
George, how about this? I know you're battling with technology. Is that a Casio keyboard that's going on behind you?
Yes, it is.
Very cool.
I got it at the Seventh Day Adventists thrift shop for $5.
Did you get it on Sunday? Because they aren't supposed to be open.
I got it on a Tuesday, actually. Nice. Their thrift shop is open 1 or 2 days a week. Cool. And I just lucked out. It had the wrong power supply. It came with a power supply for a laptop computer in the wrong voltage. And if I had connected it, I would have blown the thing up.
Yeah. That's a great fix. That's an easy fix too. So it works and everything?
Yeah. Well, I took the power supply from an old modem and changed the plug and, you know, everything works. Everything works. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that as your wonder of science?
Well, no. I am a musician by training. And so I always wanted to have a keyboard of some kind. So that's what that is. I'll talk a little more about my musical involvement later in the program because Fair it's enough. Relevant to your science topic.
So then what is your science topic then?
What's that? What's your science topic?
Yeah. What's your wonder of science?
Oh, well, let's get into that later. Because I want to tell you about my week, my two
okay.
weeks.
It's then been tell 2 weeks. Your 2 week. Tell me, oh, yeah,
since I've been ahead. Here.
Yeah. Tell me about your 2 weeks. Tell me about your 2 weeks. How
well, as you know, this is a Knoxville Atheists program. And sure. Larry, if I've got this correct, you're the only person who's actually in Knoxville.
That's true.
My heart's in Knoxville. My heart's in Knoxville, though.
And I'm the one who started the group, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Our hearts are all in Knoxville. I think I may be the closest one other than you, Larry, and I'm 60 miles.
We feel loved.
Yeah.
What's that?
We feel loved.
Oh, yes, I do.
With all your hearts being here.
Yes. And I really feel loved. So anyway, I got my second COVID shot.
Oh, good.
Nice.
And it was a strange experience because my car's been in the repair shop and I was driven by somebody else. And we went to the wrong place. We went to the place where I got the last shot and there was nobody there. It was the county park.
Oh, geez.
So the person who called me to tell me I was scheduled neglected to tell me that the joint had been moved. It had been moved back to the county health department a few miles in the opposite direction.
Wow.
So off we went. And it was a different experience than the first time. But, you know, the people were there. Now, for one thing, my friend had been signed up in another county. So the sign-up procedure had been changed. And the new sign-up procedure was you sort of called a state phone number and they would ask him, do you want the next available appointment? And he said, yes. And they said, well, the next available appointment is in Meigs County. Would you like to go there? And he said, yes. So they signed him up in the county where he doesn't live. So in the meantime, he's younger. He's in a younger age bracket.
George, what's the science?
It's a whole different topic. It's a whole different topic. I'm still back on telling.
Okay. We're so still anyway. Doing the show though.
All right.
Come on, guys. We got people waiting to say things too. Come on,
Let me go to the bottom line here, please. Which is that nobody told me that I would experience side effects after the second shot, and I did. So that's what I want to share with all the rest of you.
Heard several people say that they didn't have any side effects until they had the second shot.
Exactly. So
other people say that they were pretty bad, but not going to keep me from getting the second shot.
No. But what I want to say about it is that the side effects that I experienced were the ones that are on the CDC website, plus some dental pain and, you know, a little weirdness, but it all went away. It went away within 12 hours.
I was going to ask you, how long did they last?
Well, they didn't come on until about 12 hours after the second shot. And then within 12 hours of that, they were gone.
Okay. Cool.
So that's what I experienced.
I would say two things. There's a hidden gem in there of science because you weren't just you got an awesome vaccine. That's a great miracle of science, if you want to call it that. But also, when you got side effects, you had access to a network of databases that can tell you, hey, this is normal. Hey, CDC has done this extreme research, summarized it so that anyone can understand it, and made it available for you to access at your leisure. And
but none of the nurses, fantastic. None of the nurses at my county health department told me that.
They didn't even tell you where to go. I would write them off. Yeah.
And they said to my friend, hey, would you like a shot too?
Yeah. Good. Good. I'm glad they're giving
so
it out.
So bang, he got his first shot because of their mistake. Yeah. Huh? Yes. He got his first shot.
First shot.
Your driver.
The guy. My driver. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's
right. Okay, cool. Boudreaux, I want to know a miracle of science from you. And is that a pair of underwear that I'm looking at in the background?
It is. Door? And it's, I use it to wipe sweat from my face when I'm exercising.
Okay. Well, you got
to
do it. You got to do what you got to do. Well,
is it your underwear? That's
the thing. No, it's yours, Larry.
Anyway, miracle of science.
No, it's
miracle
not.
Of science. Wonders of science.
I keep careful track of my underwear.
I only have one pair, Larry says.
I'm always amazed by kind of radio wave technology. You know, any remote control, infrared or radio or you know, unlocking a car remotely. I mean, you know, the beauty of how a relay works, where I can push a button here and it can send a radio signal to my car, and it's hooked up to a battery. So there's a relay that, you know, it connects and it starts or it unlocks. That to me is, you know, that's, it just seems like magic because it's not, you know, physical, you know, it's not
a wire. There's no,
yeah,
wire.
There's no wire connecting. It's yeah. And I've done a little dabbling in building these types of circuits and playing around with them. And it's just remarkable, you know, turning
on
lights,
going into ham radio.
Well, okay. That's, you know, getting voice over radio. That's, I mean, that, yeah, that's pretty impressive too. But I've never been a big, I guess I had a CB as a kid.
Wow.
That's different, isn't it? Isn't that, but yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
I was a radio man in the Navy, and I'm a ham radio guy now.
You're a bit of a ham still.
I'm a ham on the air too.
Yeah,
but ham means amateur radio. Okay. For those who may not know.
Yeah,
and really CB like- is. Central Broadcast or something like that?
It's Citizen's Band.
Citizen's Band. So,
yeah.
And, what's blowing my mind? Oh, go for it.
No. Okay.
I was saying what's blowing my mind nowadays is because I have this wireless thing, right? But I also have Bluetooth tiles, which if I lose my keys or if I lose my wallet, it's no longer an hour-long, you know, stress episode for me. I just push a button on my phone and it rings if I'm within 500 feet of it. And I'm like, so great. I lost my cat in my, I opened up my backyard. Oh, he's got it. Opened up my backyard and my cat walked into my little porch area. I have a little like storage shed and I closed it with him in it because I didn't realize it because he's black. He's a black cat.
Yeah, like all cats will do that anyway.
Yeah. And I walk home and I shut like two doors behind me and I'm like, it is suspiciously quiet in this house. What's going on here? And I pushed my tile thing and it's like, I could hear it ring and I'm like, oh, he's outside. Open up the door. He's outside somewhere, open up the storage shed. He comes walking straight out. I'm like, I'm so glad I have this thing. So, yeah, very good.
Talking about little devices that use radio waves. My wife just got a meat thermometer.
Ooh.
That you plug into your turkey or whatever, put it in the oven, and it communicates through Bluetooth with your cell phone.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And she can be watching TV, and it'll go beep, 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 telling her that the meat is done.
Nice. Yeah,
isn't that awesome?
That is amazing. Cooking is so much better with technology, I think. Yeah. I think
there was an interesting thing on the news talking about science. I just saw it last night. It said the scientists have actually discovered a way of transmitting electricity from space directly to the Earth. Anybody else see that?
It's not like a superpower weapon or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
Don't get in its way.
Well, yeah. Don't stand on anything copper.
Yeah.
But no, that's interesting.
Oh, George, you're on mute.
I'd like to comment on that.
Go for it.
First of all, Nikola Tesla proposed that idea. Nikola Tesla was an alternating current junkie.
Mm-hmm.
he kept on just coming up with more and more and more permutations of alternating current and ways that he could use it. And broadcast power was one of them. And matter of fact, he tried to sell the whole concept to the financier, J.P. Morgan.
Right, but you can't get past the inverse square law. When you broadcast, like he was talking about, you know, you'd set up a big central area broadcasting electricity to the devices wirelessly around the central broadcast unit, and they would work. But inverse square law says that if you get twice as far away, you get a quarter of the power. And that, you know, that diminishes very quickly. I have a lot of respect for him, but he went around showing these devices and trying to raise money for his project. And that's just a step shy, I think, of fraud, because you could never put that into use.
Hold on. I'm going to
really
some...
sell that.
I got to step in a little bit. There's nothing wrong with selling the pitch and the dream.
And raising money off of it?
Because that technology would advance by now if it was, you know, started to be integrated way back when. So, like, we have now phones that can charge on platforms, and we have to an extent things that can charge at somewhat distance away. Yes, it's still subject to the inverse square rule or inverse square law, but we can get better at technology through working at it. Like, think about the guy who was injecting himself with cowpus and being like, I think this is making me healthier. I have a dream that this might actually solve COVID one day. We're not doing the cow thing anymore. We got better technology.
It wouldn't work.
Yeah, but like at a certain point, you have to try it. Like you have to.
I have to give him a lot of credit for backing the alternate current, because that's the way it went.
And I think
that's it's the best. Well,
I'll just one last point. For example, electric cars. What if we had streets? What if we just figured out a different way to transport the energy sources so that it's easier to the things that we want to charge? Like, there are ways to like engineer our way around it, but you got to make a first step somewhere. And I wouldn't say it's a fraud to be like, hey, it could be awesome. Please give me money so we can at least start getting there. Like, I don't think that's as big of a push.
Well, I want to talk a little bit for a second here about the wonders of science in the concept of radio broadcasting. We really are putting power into the air, you know, and the proof of that was way back when transistors were pretty new. There was a magazine called Popular Electronics, and they published a fascinating circuit that you could build at home, very simple, which was a double transistor radio. It was two transistor radios on one little tiny platform. The second radio brought in power from a radio station and used that power to run the first radio and produce sound that you could hear.
Ooh, that's so clever. Yeah.
So it sucked power from radio station number two so that you could hear radio station number one.
Stuff like that's awesome. Scott, what's your wonder of science?
You know, I really think it's cool about the Perseverance, the Mars land rover that landed on Mars not long ago. That was awesome. I've seen the pictures, the videos, and things of that nature. Do you know which, aside from Perseverance, do you know what land rovers are still working on Mars and which ones are not?
Since we have a bad echo, why don't you answer
the question? So Mars Opportunity is dead. It died last year in July. And Curiosity is still functioning. So it's one that was sent up there earlier. I don't know when it was sent. I think back in 2016 or something like that. But it's still working. Well, it's just amazing how they can do that. It's really awesome. Yeah.
It's an interesting fact that that there's a planet in our solar system that's totally populated by robots.
I love it.
Very true. Also, why is it that they can send, you know, that to Mars, but Amazon still takes a week to send, you know, this guy to me? Like, come on, can we get these technologies to talk to each other, handshake? So, hey, we just talked about some wonders of science. When we come back, we're going to be talking about wonders of religion.
Well, everybody, I have a wonder of science that I want to talk about a little bit, too.
How about we do it right after the break?
Sure, that's right fine. Back. It's Larry, a wonder of music, in fact.
Larry, take us right back.
Sure. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 Alfie FM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Well, Eve told Adam, snakes, I've had 'em. Let's get out of here. Go raise this family someplace out of town. They left the garden just in time with the landlord cussing right behind. They headed east and finally settled down. One thing led to another. A bunch of sons, one killed his brother. They kicked him out of his nothing but his clothes. The human race survives, 'cause those brothers all found wives. But where they came from, ain't nobody knows. Like New Orleans, only bigger. No one who couldn't swim would make it through. Well, the lucky ones were on a boat, think circus, and then made it float and hope nobody pulls the plug on you. How they fed that crowd is a mystery. It ain't down in the history, but it's a cinch they didn't live on cakes and jam. Lions don't eat cabbage, and in spite of that old we'll never see one lie down with a lamb. Charlie Darwin looked so far into the way things are, he caught a glimpse of God's unfolding plan. God said, I'll make some DNA, they can use it any way they want, from paramecia right up to man. They'll have sex and mix up sections of their code, they'll have mutations, the whole thing works like clockwork over time. I'll just sit back in the shade while everyone gets laid. That's what I call intelligent design. Yeah, you and your cat named Felix, you both wrapped up in that double helix, is what we call intelligent design.
Hello and welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Daughter Five and this is Sunday, February 28th, 2021. Now let's talk about the Atheist Free Thought groups that you can find right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK. It was founded in 2002. We're in our 19th year, and we have over 1,000 members. You can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org. We have weekly Zoom meetings if you'd like to get together and talk to other atheists and make up our community, which is what it's all about. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. That's right. Earlier in the show, we said we talked about the Atheist video show that's broadcasting here from Knoxville. It was originally broadcast on Community Access TV, but now we've gone directly online. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Knoxville Free Thought or Free Thinkers, or specifically the Free Thinkers United Coalition of Knoxville.
Oh my gosh, that's a long name.
It's a long name.
With us on our show today, we have Boudreaux, George, and Duffer. That's it. Wombat, where are we going to pick up on this?
We're talking about wonders of science, and there's no greater wonder of science than the fan. What a fan, what a fan, what a fan, what a mighty good fan.
What a mighty good fan.
Guys, we are going to go over fan comments, listener-supported feedback on our channel. We had a really, really good one from Natalie Cruz. This is on our last week's episode, which was, do your actions match your beliefs? And Natalie Cruz says, I can understand where the line can get blurred with actions or beliefs and actions, especially more so when it intersects with our familial relationships. For example, most of all my family on my mother's side are Catholic or Exton. She's saying Christian with like an X on it. My grandparents are both they're both sides. Catholic or Christian. My grandparents on both sides also. Generationally as it goes. Anyway, some sayings are almost embedded in the way that we greet each other in a culturally respectful way. We say benedicion, and 9.5 out of 10 times they'll also say Dios te bendiga, which translates to blessings and God bless you. I participate in these actions with my grandparents as a way of respect. Although I'm an atheist, I don't tell them, and it's better that they don't know. And although I believe in no gods, I take these actions because they are a way to maintain respect. Great conversation, gentlemen. Thank you very much, Natalie, for the comment. We appreciate that. Have you guys, I think we've had a topic about this before where we've said happily, bless you, if someone sneezes, or Merry Christmas, or Happy Ramadan, if someone celebrates Ramadan. My perspective is I don't have a horse in the race. I'm just showing respect to you as another mutual human being on this planet. And so I don't have a problem. Mm-hmm. I'd have no problem saying anything I need to.
The way I look at it is if I knew that they're celebrating Ramadan, I'll wish them a happy Ramadan.
Yeah. Because
that's what they're going to be doing.
They're happy they can eat again.
Yeah. Same with Christmas or whatever they're celebrating. If I don't know, I may just say happy holidays, but
yeah. Actually, I'm going to take that back. Ramadan is when you can't eat. Eid is when you can eat. So, like, they're way more excited about Eid than they are Ramadan.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about wonders of science. That conversation's done. Now we're going to boot up wonders of religion.
No, religion, we have a wonder of science left.
Well, I'm going to get to you. But I'm going to throw this out real quick because I think our topics connect and merge a little bit. I think it's both a wonder of science that we have access to all these novel instruments. I mean, just look at the stuff that Scott's doing. He has a new computer button panel every week. But I also think religion has a lot of wonderful contributions towards science or towards music. I don't think a lot of the things that religion touts is factually accurate, but the impact that it has on music as an art form is without question. And I think for the most part, it's pretty good. I think like there's you can't listen to Tyler the Entertainer or Chance the Rapper when you're doing like a cathedral hall scene. Like it just doesn't match. You need that hard choir sound. You need Christian pop. Sometimes you just need some good GCF music chords in your face. Anyway, George, I'll leave it up to you for your story. What's your science contribution along with idea of wonder of religion?
Well, okay. It all will work, actually, because I have a question of science which has been bamboozling me for most of my life, and it could make me religious because I don't have an answer for this. It has to do with the way musical instruments are tuned in our society, and we use an equal tuning system, which was the inspiration for a piece of music by Johann Sebastian Bach called the Well-Tempered Clavier. And well-temperament means an equality of musical keys, one with another, with another, with another. And the way this is achieved is by tuning a piano, let's say, deliberately out of tune. Now, I was an instrument technician. You have all heard my work. I have not mentioned this before here. I was the leading harpsichord technician in New York during the early 1960s. And most of my work was done, in fact, for popular music, top 40 in particular. And that's why I say you've all heard my work. Harpsichord was used as a color sound. For instance, Rosemary Clooney's pop tunes all had harpsichord in them because the harpsichord was the sonic trademark of her arranger, who she hated, by the way. And I worked on the Mitch Miller Show. I worked for ABC, NBC, CBS, et cetera, et cetera. The issue that has fascinated and frustrated me is the fact that musical instruments are deliberately set a little bit out of tune so that they are acoustically imperfect because the science does not add up. And that could make me a religious person because I do not have an answer for this.
I think it's a little better for things to be slightly out of tune when they're all playing together because they blend better that way.
This is a very
the same sinusoidal wave.
This is a very specific kind of out of tuneness.
Yeah.
We all agree that it's in tune when it isn't. And to make that even further, not only within the octave, but it's been traditional for piano tuners to expand the octaves just a little tiny bit so that the top of the piano can be a quarter tone out of tune with the bottom of the piano. Mm-hmm. And we accept this. I mean, I think there's a psychological penalty to pay for tuning this way as well, but I won't get into that. The fact is that we all accept this as being in tune when it in fact is not.
So that's like a wonder of science.
And that's the wonder of
psychology. Yeah.
I have no answer for this.
That's fair.
Yeah, well, that's the answer. The answer is I don't know, or we don't
know. Ooh, I love it.
You know, I like it, Larry. I love it.
And there's no reason to go to a religion about that. I mean, even deism thinks that there is a God. But it doesn't do anything, doesn't really have anything to do with us or our personal needs or personal relationship or anything like that. We cannot know anything about that particular God. And he may not even still be around. He might have got blown up in the explosion of the Big Bang. Who knows? But I don't consider anything like that a religion because you're not like worshiping it. You're not like, you don't have a holy book. You don't have any dogma. So, even if you say, I don't know, and it's weird, it's strange, and there's no way we could find out, I don't, you know, religion is not a word I would use in that context.
Yeah. Now, you need to have a funny hat to be a religion. We all know.
Yeah.
Larry, where's our funny hat man today?
Right.
We'll come back. Larry, I feel like we missed out on your science topic. I'm sorry for skipping over you, buddy. What did you have a wonder of science that you wanted to talk about?
A wonder of science.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'd always wanted to be like a space physicist, an astrophysicist, and the wonders of the unanswered questions of the very large and the very small intrigue me. And I guess you may or may not know what the grand unification theory is, but we still don't have one. There's some
science. You may never have one.
We may never have some. One, which is really strange because we can have science all the way from like, you know, everything, everyday things that we see around us, all the way up to, you know, mega stars and black holes in the universe itself. But we can't take that science down to the micro level. It doesn't work.
You need a different branch of science.
The classical sciences of Newtonian physics don't work at the lower levels. So,
because they had no idea of the forces that were at play,
and we can't really convert them without a grand unification theory. But anyway, that is a thing that intrigues me, and I've read, I guess, most of the wheelchair guy. I can't think of his name.
Stephen Hawking. He's done so many more things than in a wheelchair.
I know.
You could have gone so many different directions.
I'm terrible with names. I'll be the first to admit it.
The big nose guy who talks about the stars.
Let's switch this over to atheism because it's technically an atheism show. Is what really gets me is I'll get online and I'll come across these Christians who adamantly acclaim that religion. One, and Christianity specifically is responsible for all modern science. And I've made a meme of it. It's got four distinct points of it. I'd like to go into it just for a second.
People, oh, man, meme run. Here we go.
Yeah, people were practicing science well before Christianity was established. I mean, religions per se were forwarding answers, but they were not doing science. Two, the early Christian scientists could be hardly anything but Christians. The church would have either banished, imprisoned, or tortured, or burned them if they had denied the tenets of Christianity.
Sure.
Three, whenever they made discoveries that went against the teachings of the Christian dogma, the church stood in their way and oppressed the resulting studies, often burning their books and papers and sometimes the scientists themselves. And
now we have Republicans that do that.
Yeah, exactly. And fourth and last, when those early Christian scientists were doing science, they were not doing religion and vice versa. Religious examinations into nature resulted in no discoveries or advancements whatsoever, which brings us to the next area. Everybody was talking about the great scientific areas that they love to get off into. Let's talk about any religious discoveries.
That I want you to not look at this skeptically. I want you to think of a good religious contribution, Larry. And I know you want to be
now,
skeptical.
You said contribution, but you didn't say scientific contribution.
I want a wonder of religion from you. And I want it to be nice. And I want you to just swallow and be nice for just 2 minutes. Take that saltiness out and just give me a nice little compliment about religion. If you got it.
Well, I'll say this. It has been used as a means to congregate.
Okay, we'll take
that. And you don't need religion to do that, but that has been the main contribution to society that religion has brought.
That is fantastic, Larry. I feel like Scott wants to weigh in. Scott, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to piggyback off what Larry said earlier when he talked about the grand unification and how religion comes into this, because I hear a lot of times that this is a perfect opportunity to sneak our God in, see, you know, see, we don't have an answer. And so this is a perfect place we can put Yahweh or Jesus, you know, that's like Neil deGrasse Tyson said, if that's the game you want to play, then you're going to have to say religion is an ever receding pocket of ignorance,
right,
you know,
right.
But on the positive side, if I had to say, what did religion bring to people that's of value? Well, there's a lot of things. I could say philosophy, a lot of philosophical thought spun off of religious ideas and things of that nature. You could say music, like social interaction, meaning and purpose. A lot of people get meaning and purpose from associating with this concept of God. Now, how true it is, I personally don't think that there's any truth in it, but if I had to say what sort of value, maybe a subjective kind of value, maybe. But that's about as far as I can go. But that's everything, really. I mean, our subjective life is everything, really. It's really what gives us happiness, joy, meaning, and purpose. And I always say, if I had to decide between truth and happiness, I would go with happiness every time.
No.
I disagree.
Truth every single time. You can. Truth? They're not mutually exclusive terms. You can be truthful.
Scott, you need to get your mind.
Happy and ruin a lot of people's lives in the process.
Echo.
You'd be happy and ignorant and ruining people's lives left and right. Truth. You need truth. You need truth. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Eric. You want to weigh in?
Yeah. Well, ignorance is bliss, maybe in that context. But
black. It's a completely different world.
I was going to plug the there's an NPR Hidden Brain episode. I don't know if anyone listens to Hidden Brain, but there's an episode called Creating God, which I highly recommend. Look it up. Podcast. It's really cool. But one of the things they talk about is, and I think a credit to religion was, you know, when we were in when humans were in very, very small groups, you know, it was easy to see if somebody wasn't pulling their weight, contributing, you know. So as those groups started, you know, and they would kick them out or hit them with a rock or whatever we would do, I'm saying it's a him. I'm assuming the men are the ones not.
It was probably men hitting rocks. Women aren't doing that. You know that. We all know this. Right. Like, you can talk to Lisa. It's like, no. Okay, fine.
Yeah. But as the group got
rocks.
As those groups got bigger, it got a lot harder to detect if somebody was, you know, not contributing. And, you know, as you know, these tribes are getting bigger, you could kind of free ride everything. And so someone said, well, wait a second, you know, kind of almost like, you know, talking about Santa with your kids, you know, there's this big guy in the sky watching you. And if you aren't contributing, you know, and here's what's kind of creating some morality, some check to make sure you're doing your part. And, you know, I think that really helped. I'd be willing to bet that it really helped us grow bigger and be able to have a bigger civilization without that kind of invisible hand.
Eric, I like the way on this because I think it touches on the point more eloquently than I was saying with truth versus happiness. There is no monopoly that religion has on motivating people to do good things and leading towards better societies. But it has also been the crux for example, kamikaze pilots, you know, crashing into planes, or terrorist activities flying into buildings, or a number of atrocities that have happened during the Crusades, or what's going on currently now under like more conservative Christian values going to other nations and changing and instilling democracy in places that maybe didn't really ask for it in the first place. Mm-hmm. But I would say like it's a difference between is it worth it because we're making people happier, or is there a more truthful approach that we can go to making people more motivated to do the work that needs to get done so that we could have a better society? And I would argue like in every capacity where we can find a shortcut to lie to people about a higher power that's making them do work, if we were just truthful to them, explained the mutual benefit of them being able to do the work and instilling some sense of community service in them, that would be much more healthier in the long run than to maintain a big lie that could potentially lead to more problems.
But to be fair, talking about it in a historical context when folks didn't have the vocabulary and the technology and maybe the people you're trying to explain that to can't even understand it. But if you say, you be good, God kill you, you know, that's about as far as you can go.
Okay. I hear you, Eric.
Okay.
Larry, what do you
good got? Point though.
No, good point.
No, I certainly acknowledge that point Eric was making, or Boudreaux. The thing about it is the long-term effects, you can't mention the good without the bad, and the long-term effects of that type of psychological programming is devastating over a long time and generations. I mean, I've always thought of it as the very definition of paranoia. Somebody is watching you and reading your thoughts every single minute of the day, ready to cast you into hell forever for the wrong one.
Yeah.
I mean, that not a recipe for psychological health.
That's actually, okay, Scott, you got a good question. What's up?
Yeah, I was going to say religion, though, doesn't always seek out happiness. In fact, religion seeks out truth at the expense of happiness, because they, even the Jehovah's Witnesses were called the truth.
Yeah.
So they're claiming truth. And in claiming truth, they're telling you have to deny yourself of, you know, what feels good to you or what satisfies you intellectually and what, you know, because I get happiness from learning about true things, right?
Right.
But religion oftentimes doesn't want you to really seek truth. They just want to monopolize this word truth as though
they want the brand.
Contain it. Yes.
They don't. I take exception to that. They don't seek truth. They seek obedience. Mm. They claim truth. They don't have any evidence for that, but they seek obedience. And that's the whole point behind it.
Boudreaux, I totally get your point that if I am village A and there's a village B that's coming after us tomorrow, and I need to find a way to round up, you know, every able body to like set up a fight against these people and motivate them to maybe put their lives on the line. The whole God wants you to do this, stand with me, works very effectively in like a passionate moment. I can't deny that utility. I also don't like the slow burn. So like in a completely different context, the slow burn of like, hey, we're not at war, but I just want 10% of your paycheck and you got to do it. And also, can we get rid of the gays? I don't like them either. But I want to do this and that and this and that, and I want to control these things, and I want you to raise your kids this way. It's like, ooh, you got to stop that. That's so much more long-term hurt. I feel like we've pushed the needle way away from protecting ourselves from other religious zealots and more of just like crowd control. And I wish that wasn't the case, because the long-term detractions that we're putting in by instilling religion don't outweigh the benefits that we might be getting from them. At least is how I see it. George, you've been quiet. I want to know what you think. Listen, I know you said you don't know about music, but here's my question. Here's my question. Like, do you think it's worthwhile to have a religion say, hey, we have an emergency situation. I don't have the time to explain morality to you. Just believe in this God and do these sets of actions. And we've done that in the...
Hell no. Because, I mean, my background is Jewish. And I must say that Jewish people have been brutalized by Christians for so many centuries.
Absolutely.
Murdered, killed, you know, exterminated. Mm. So I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I see my own, the people who come from the same tradition that I do,
yeah,
committing atrocities against other people and using their religion to kind of hold themselves together as a group, you know.
It was grounds for enslavement of people. Like, I'm sure, again, like, could someone make the argument that, well, someone had to pick this cotton. But the long-term damages of that don't, you know, outweigh the benefits of having cotton underwear for like a couple of years, you know? So like, I think it's obvious, like, we owe it to ourselves to seek the truth in all cases. And just because something claims to be the truth doesn't necessarily mean that it is the truth.
Indeed, like a stolen election, for instance.
Yeah. And if we care about the truth, it means we need to have standards for truth, because that's the only way we can actually properly determine true things from false things. And I feel like one of the benefits of science, and I think the catch-all one for science, is that it gives us the best means of testing for truth, which religion has offered nothing in that realm whatsoever. And I feel
now, like, how are we going to convince the religious people that we're telling them the truth?
Truthfully, and if it takes one at a time, we'll do it one at a time. But like, I don't see any other reason why they should take more lies. I think truth is like a very disgusting vitamin milkshake, right? It doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. Lies are always going to be delicious. And after a certain point, you'll realize this tastes too good to be true. True has a little grit to it. True doesn't necessarily care about my feelings. True isn't necessarily like trying to be interested in making me look good. Truth is good, and doubt is very good too. Even though a lot of people have bad connotations on doubt, doubt is always on your side. It's the thing telling you not to jump in that tiger pit and punch that tiger in the face. Confidence says, do that. I can't wait for you to jump in that tiger pit. Doubt is like, I don't think you can win that fight. Doubt's always on your side. Truth is always a thing worth going towards. And with those two things combined, you have the start of a really great standard to determine true things from false things. There's no other way around it. We have to have an appreciation for truth and doubt. And I think like the conversations that we do, whether it's an Ask an Atheist table, whether it's at the summit, whether it's through music, whether it's through just this show that we're having a conversation with, or Socratic examination, I think it's worthwhile to have those talks to instill a sense of critical thinking in other people. We are coming down to the bottom of the show. Scott, where can we find your music? Where can we get these jingles on, my friend?
Oh, yeah. You can go to dubshine.bandcamp.com and check them out. Download them. Support it. I'm going to be putting more stuff up daily at this point. Very cool. So check it out.
Very cool. Very cool. Boudreaux. When are you going to bust open that new mic? Show me some cool things that you're doing. You got podcasts coming up. You got so many things going on. What's going on?
Yeah, well, vacation slowed down all that work. But I would like to maybe push aside my contributions right now. And can I mention someone else's contributions I learned about on vacation?
Sure.
Especially in honor of the last day of Black History Month. We went to the Magnolia Plantation and visited these houses, these structures that were 1800s, 1900s, where, and I'll say this, the way they put it, they weren't slaves. They were enslaved people were living inside these quarters. They were like duplexes. And this group called the Slave Dwelling Project, they actually go to these structures and stay the night in them all across the country. And these are ones in near Charleston, South Carolina, but I'm told they also go to Louisville, where they have some here in Kentucky. So I don't know if you're aware of this project, but it was kind of a fascinating demonstration where they would show you how they cooked food, only using the ingredients that they had and the equipment that they had back then, and just really just an eye-opening experience of how they were living or not living, as it seemed. But
very cool. I'm really interested in that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. George, is there a song that you are excited to play on your new keyboard?
Or not at all. I'm very bad at it. I'm a terrible. It was my first instrument, and I can't.
I'm sure you're going to get better at it sometime. I would love to hear a thing that you could do in the future for sure. We got to make that a thing, right? I would say this last day of Black History Month, get to know some Black atheists. I think it's important. I think for the most part, we are very familiar with white male atheists. And I think most people would be hard pressed to name even like five Black atheists. I'm one of them.
How do we find Black atheists, Tyrone?
Bizarre question. It's really bizarre, but listen, there's a thing called the internet. You can easily find that stuff out. There's also a thing called comedy, stand-up comedian. And you will be surprised that most Black stand-up comics are very well aware of like being able to take falsehoods or truths and convert them into ways that are palatable, but also entertaining, and also speak about a hard-set truth. And a lot of famous comedians who are Black, Eric Andre, Hannibal Buress, and a number of others. I don't want to go through them all, but like those guys are atheists. They're outspoken about it as well. And they'll tell you some things about religion that I think are worthwhile. So if you're a Hannibal Buress fan, if you're a Ron Funches fan, if you're a Eric Andre fan, he has a show on Adult Swim, check him out. Other Black atheists, Mandisa Thomas, check them out. Artist Tyler, the Creator, he's a atheist as well. Get to know some Black atheists, have them in your pocket. That way it's not just all one voice that you're hearing, you know, atheism from, because there's a lot of voices that make this community. I'd also say this too, on the internet, on Reddit, someone made a post saying, where are all the Black atheists? And in the comment threads for that, I got a ping that someone had mentioned my name, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. There was a list of them, and I was on that list, and I was like, hey, that's me, that's kind of cool. So yeah, shout out to Reddit, thank you for that. Larry, anything else you want to say?
We were talking about the truth, and if you want the truth, you need to start with the questions, like science does. Start with questions, look for answers that match the questions, and repeatable, testable answers. You don't start with the answers like from a book, and then just only validate the things that support those answers and ignore the rest. So science is the way to go. My own real content is on digitalfreethought.com. I have a blog there. Make sure you click on the blog button if you don't land on it already. We have radio show archives there. These archives, atheist songs and articles on the subject. My book is called Atheism, What's It All About? It's available on Amazon. And if you have questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org. And we'll answer them for you. If you're having trouble leaving your religious beliefs behind, you have emotional problems, psychological problems, there's a group for you called recoveringfromreligion.org. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. This has been the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it and enjoy your life. And we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.